It's the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
Right now, I have at the 19th caller, through 298-1-7200, the extra large premium chef's cutting board made of the finest American maple wood.
Could have used one of those over the holidays, by the way, all the chopping I did. Those are great.
Is that music ever going to stop? No, it apparently isn't. Call number 19, 312-981-7200. It's all brought to you by The Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom at Builder Supply Outlet, just 5 miles east of Oak Brook Shopping Mall on Cermak Road, 25th Avenue in Broadview. So I'll make sure I got their verbiage right properly for the first time in 2017. All right, here we go.
Number 5.
Hate crime charges for the 4 people who allegedly beat, threatened, and taunted a mentally disabled white man in Chicago and streamed it on Facebook Live. The video shows him tied up, slashed, beaten, and forced to drink from a toilet. Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson says the actions in that video are reprehensible.
That, along with racism, have absolutely no place in the city of Chicago or anywhere else, for that matter, against anyone, regardless of their race, gender, state of mental health, or any other identifying factor.
You know what's amazing to me is how unbelievably and undeniably stupid the people were who did this, who did it. I mean, first of all, stupid to do it, mean to do it, subhuman to do it.
Subhuman, I like that one.
But it was, but to then do it live on Facebook.
It says do it live on Facebook too, for 30 minutes, 31 minutes, some say, and then even say it, part of their dialogue was, let's make this thing go viral. There's such a lack of, there's just such a chip missing in their brains to be doing what they're doing and then feel bold enough to brag about it as if this was something to be celebrated.
Yes.
Just horrifying.
Yes.
I know.
It's exactly right.
And I hate it that it's connected to our city, yes, yet again, that this is an example of us somehow.
Checking in at
number 4.
Director of National Intelligence James Clapper officially confirmed during a Senate hearing today that the U.S. does, in fact, believe that the Russian government was involved in propagating fake news and fake news websites during the 2016 presidential election. Democratic Rhode Island Senator Jack Reed asked Clapper about the various media reports that the Russians may have been involved in creating some fake news here. Is that correct now?
Yes, without getting too far in front of the headlights of the our rollout next week to the Congress. This was a multifaceted campaign. So the hacking was only one part of it, and it also entailed classical propaganda, disinformation, fake news.
Does that continue?
Yes.
They apparently also have hacked Donald Trump's Twitter account.
Apparently.
That must be, that is the only explanation we have for what we've seen on the Twitter account, Senator.
It'll be interesting to see what they release on Monday. The public gets to know a little bit more about what the intelligence community has learned. Obviously not everything, out of respect for what they need to do in terms of, you know, going after the hackers and that kind of thing.
Well, and Donald Trump is going to get his briefing tomorrow from them.
Sure.
And we'll see what he says after that. This way he learned. Look at this. Look at the technology they've got. But he couldn't do it today. Now, he was saying that they had moved it to Friday and held it back till Friday. That's not true, apparently, at least according to the people who would know, which are the intelligence agencies themselves, who said, no, this was always planned. And today, Donald Trump was in a deposition with that celebrity chef from his Washington property.
Oh, right.
And the celebrity chef, you know, who backed out because he's got a lot of workers from Mexico, and he didn't know the whole Mexico thing that happened, and then he was a partisan for Hillary Clinton. The thing that is most astounding about that is that this celebrity chef tweeted Donald Trump in the middle of the night, hey, if you're still awake, let's settle this thing and you don't have to worry about it.
Oh, God.
But it's Donald Trump who's bringing the lawsuit because he wants the money back from the build-out.
Breach of contract.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sue everybody.
Well, it seems you would think in his position that that's not what he'd want to spend his time with, but that's, you know, that's what he's chosen to do.
Joe Biden today said to NPR, or I'm sorry, public television, PBS, said to PBS NewsHour, he said, you know, I think that Donald Trump should just grow up. When Joe Biden tells you to grow up, I mean, think about
it.
I
know you got some growing up to do.
Now, stop and think about that for a second. That's the sitting vice president of the United States talking about the incoming president-elect, right? The incoming president of the United States.
Oh, there are many who'll just put that aside as being partisan. And, of course, they're just still angry and going after him for absolutely anything they can possibly go after him for.
But he's doing it himself. It's not going after him for things he's not saying. I mean, if you read the Twitter account, it's Looney Tunes. And he's the,
wrong.
And he is the president-elect of the United States. He's going after Toyota today, and then Toyota stock drops precipitously, then it comes back. You know, there was like a, well, I wouldn't call it a crash, but there was a flash drop. It's like...
In Boeing, you mean, before? Are you talking about today?
Today,
Toyota.
For Toyota. Mm. Very steep curve down. And it's like, really? Do you want to do that? Is that what you want to do?
It's what he's chosen to do.
That's what I'm going to do. And I don't need you telling me. I'm telling you, I'm already working on my potato technique for my gulag.
You're going to be eating a lot of potatoes.
No,
bro.
Just one potato. You get one potato a month at the gulag, yeah.
Slimming.
Right. Yeah, it will be very slimming. Me and Alec Baldwin, we're sharing potato recipes right now. I mean, that's how crazy this is. I ended up with Alec Baldwin as my roommate, as my bunkmate at the gulag.
That'd be fun at least.
I don't know. I think he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah, I think
there'll be a lot of fighting over that.
Anger management
issues.
Yeah,
he's going to be very mad if I don't keep the sheets, you know, perfectly folded. All right, we'll get to your 3-year, 2-in-1. But first, Violetta Powder Medics are the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
With your support, Chicago Tribune Charities is helping to transform the lives of those in need all across the Chicago area. Give now, www.chicagotribune.com/donate.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, girl, we could get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Mm. Come on, baby, light my fire.
This lays into
number 3.
In Los Angeles, crowd gathered in Venice, California, to commemorate the 50th anniversary of The Doors. Fans toting copies of the group's debut album on vinyl, naturally, cheered as the LA City Council member Mike Bonin, officially declared January 4th the day of The Doors, and original band members Robbie Krieger and John Densmore played a loose, rumbly version of LA Woman.
Well, it's 50 years of The Doors. We started right here in Venice, and we're ending up right here in Venice, too. So it's all a cycle, you know.
Well, the ocean's just right out there, and that's where Jim got the idea to write the song Moonlight Drive. So then we went to Hollywood and made it, but our roots are here.
I have no idea. You know, you cannot say what Jim would have done or said, because he always would do something different. But I bet you he would have been here and he would have dug it. And I think
that's an old hippie right there. He would have dug it.
Been proud.
Yeah, he'd have dug it,
and he would have been proud.
Now, I used to take all kinds of drugs, and now Lipitor is my drug of choice.
It's the way it goes. Eventually.
So I think that is that's true.
It's for the cycle of drugs.
Yeah.
But they're in Venice Beach is where it all started, and they go back there 50 years later. Whoa,
here is their version of L.A. Woman that they performed.
Well, the ocean's just right out
there. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. All right, checking in at
number 2.
Pharrell
Stop by the Ellen DeGeneres Show today to perform and promote the film Hidden Figures, which he co-produced. Spoke with Ellen about the recent backlash against gospel singer Kim Burrell, who contributed to the soundtrack of Hidden Figures after Burrell's anti-gay comments at a church went viral. And they were, I mean, she was on the pulpit because apparently Ms. Burrell is also a pastor. And she was saying that that gay people are going to die in the year 2017 as it's revealed. And
they're perverts or something.
Right. And he said, and she was very specific, too. She got, like, specific about what the specific act is that's going to make them go to hell.
Right.
And it was, and she talks about body parts and faces and mouths and all kinds of things. They're like, whoa, how? You're in church. Don't say that. The kids are listening. Well, Pharrell said this.
Well, there's no space, there's no room for any kind of prejudice in 2017 or moving on. Like, there's no, she's a fantastic singer. I love her, just like I love everybody else. And we all got to get used to that. We got to get used to, we all have to get used to everyone's differences and understand that this is a big, gigantic, beautiful, colorful world. And it only works with inclusion and empathy. It only works that way.
What a powerful message, right? Greeting it with love for her and saying that that's not tolerated, that you have to, you know, like you said, Ro, the words she used were so strong, and it was just, instead of being bitter and angry about it, they chose to take that path, which I think is pretty big.
It was the words were so specific. Mm-hmm. They were, it's a very specific definition of what was going on.
Yes, there were. The words were
like where the different parts go and where they should go and they shouldn't go.
It got graphic. Yeah,
got very graphic.
You wonder how. Yeah,
yes.
The youngest children were sort of wondering, like asking a lot of questions later.
When the pastor was writing the sermon, did she stop and go, you know, here's what I'm going to do? You know, like something the pastor like goes to their spouse, honey, come here. Here's what I wrote about all the gay people burning in hell. And there's a thing about it with the woohoo and the deal and the and look. Now it's in their face. Don't stick that in anybody's face. And does the husband go, hey, honey, you might want to
tone it down a little. Just yeah. The,
well, like one step back.
I'm not sure that's the kind of speech you really lay out a total word-for-word dialogue on.
Right. I don't think you want to say into the mouth. I don't know. I know. Anyway. Checking in at
number one.
Oh, boy. So Michael Keaton. When the reboot of the Batman series started in the 1990s, and I thought Michael Keaton was awesome.
Great.
As Bruce Wayne
so
and Batman.
Good.
And he's got a new movie out where he plays Ray Kroc, so he's doing a lot of press for that. That movie looks really, really good. The trailer does, and you know how I look at those things. But I'll tell you what's really interesting here. He kind of broke bad on his Batman experience. He talked about why he ditched the franchise after just two films. He was supposed to do three. When it came to 1995 and Batman Forever, well,
it sucked. The script never was good. Right. I didn't understand why he wanted to do what he wanted to do. I knew we were, and I hung on for many meetings, and I was polite up to a point about saying, look, you know, can do you think maybe, are you getting this and do you understand the thing? But I knew it was in trouble when he said, why does everything have to be so dark? And also, you know, I also, frankly, I thought this just, I just can't. I can't do it.
Yeah,
I just can't
do
it. And not like I'm above it or I'm an artist, but maybe I'm enough of an artist to go, I just don't think I can do this without blowing my brains out.
It's honest.
He didn't like. It's very honest.
Yes.
But you rarely hear actors saying that, right? Because he's talking about a very prominent director, and they don't often badmouth director types like that.
Was that the one that Clooney was in then?
Which
Val Kilmer. That Val Kilmer and then Clooney killed the franchise. Because Joel Schumacher took over from Tim Burton. Tim Burton was doing all the dark, sort of nihilist, very brooding films, which they went back to, and it makes sense because that's really what Batman's all about. And Joel Schumacher thought, yeah, you know, I really like that thing with from the 60s on the TV show. Let's make it more like that. So there you go. All right. Is that enough?
Is that enough?
That's enough.
That's enough.
The top five at five.